And we know the theme of this book is suffering and trials. And Peter wrote it to encourage God's children as they go through trials. And we've already seen that encouragement in these first few passages here in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. So here in chapter 1, beginning in verse 8 tonight, where we finished last week, the Bible says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So tonight we're going to talk about joy unspeakable. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, and use your word in our hearts this evening to grow us, to change us, Lord, to meet the needs of our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone in our service that has never been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, may they realize the joy that can be had by becoming your child, and they would get that sorted. So we give you this service, we give you this time in your word. We ask you, watch over us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, the Christian life is all about faith. And that's why Peter says there in verse 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love." We're walking by faith just by claiming Jesus Christ as our own. We're walking by faith, saying that we know that there's a Creator. No, we know that He wrote us His will in a book called the Bible. That's all by faith. We can't prove it. And we can't show someone God's face. We can't prove to them this is the Word of God. We know it's the Word of God because it's supernatural, but we can't prove it. It's by faith that we believe it's the Word of God. And, pardon me, it's by faith that we love, as it says there in verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that everyone in this room can say, "I love Jesus." Of course, what does that mean? We've been talking about that a few times. What does that mean to say, "I love Jesus"? Well, according to Jesus, it means that we're obedient. Right? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, "This is the love of God, that we do His commandments." So, to say I love Jesus is one thing. To manifest our love through obedience is another, isn't it? "But whom having not seen, you love." The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us in 1 John 4:19. God loved us first. Amen? And the Bible says that love was manifested at the cross. If you want to know about the love of God, you just have to look at the cross. That God Himself was willing to become a man and to suffer and to be humiliated and have a crown of thorns put on His head and punched and stabbed and go through all of that voluntarily, because Jesus said Himself He could have called down 12 legions of angels at any time. He did that for us. As our substitute, He died on the cross. Because no other man could have died for other men, because we're all sinners. It took a sinless man to die as our substitute, which is what Jesus did. Showing His love. And then when we got saved, we accepted that love. And now we love Him in return for what He's done for us. He's given us eternal life, a home in heaven. He's taking away our sins. And so we now show our love for Him through obedience, as we talked about. But the Bible says in verse 8, "In whom, though ye now you see Him not, yet believing." We wouldn't be here tonight if we didn't believe that there was a God, and that our God loves us and wrote a love letter to us in His Word, and that He loved us enough to die for us on the cross. He loved us enough to rise again from the dead and conquer death and give us eternal life. That's why we're here. Because we believe. We believe the Word of God. We believe what the Bible tells us. And we can rejoice in the midst of trials, as we saw last week, because we believe. We can go forward and serve the Lord because we believe. It all comes down to believing what is in here. Amen? Now look at verse 6 where it says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, your in heaviness through manifold temptations." We believe that. Verse 8, whom have you not seen you love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable. We believe the Word of God. And that is the key. The Bible says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In Psalm 19 and verse 8. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He said the Word of God caused rejoicing. And tonight we're talking about joy unspeakable. You can't have joy unspeakable unless you're born again. And you can't be born again unless you've heard the gospel. And you can't hear the gospel without the Word of God. So it goes back to the Word. You know, Paul said that same thing in Romans chapter 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? It all goes back to hearing the Word of God. And God wrote His Word that we might have salvation, and that through salvation we might have unspeakable joy. Turn over to 1 John, if you would, chapter 1. It's just two books over from 1 Peter. 1 John chapter 1, and look at verse 4. John says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He says, I'm writing you this letter, and 1 John is written to Christians, that your joy might be full. Isn't that good? And our joy can be full by faith because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we can rejoice in that every day, independent of the circumstances that we face, independent of the trials we may find ourselves in. Remember, that's what this book is about, is suffering. And we still have joy. Because a Christian's joy is not based on circumstances, or it shouldn't be. A Christian's joy is based on truth. The truth of God's Word. You might be going through terrible circumstances, but you're still going to heaven. Amen? You still have a mansion waiting for you. You still have eternal life. You still have Jesus who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All of those things are true no matter what the circumstances. Which is why a Christian's joy never goes away. He says there in verse 8 of our passage, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. 1 Peter 1:8. Go over to Philippians 4:4 if you would. Over to the left a couple of books. And Paul wrote us another letter. This was also written to Christians at Philippi. And notice what he says. Verse 4, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's important to know that when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was in prison, with stalks around his ankles and rats running around on the floor. And he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. You know what? The world doesn't even understand how that's possible. Because the world's joy is based on their circumstances. When things are going good, they can rejoice. When things are going bad, they can complain and moan. But that's not true for a Christian. We can rejoice with joy unspeakable no matter what the trial, no matter what the afflictions, because our joy is centered in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And those things are solid and never change. Go if you would to Psalm 51, where David wrote about his experience after he was caught out by God for his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. He had a man murdered and took his wife, took that man's wife as his own. And God took his child as punishment. It's pretty intense. Psalm 51:12. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You mean it's possible to lose the joy of our salvation? Yep. And what caused David to lose the joy of his salvation? The same thing that causes anybody to: sin. Because sin causes us to be temporarily out of fellowship with God. And since God is the source of our joy, when we're not close to God, then the joy isn't there. Right? The Bible tells us, Isaiah 59, your sins have separated between you and your God and hid His face from you that He will not hear. It's our sins that cause it. God doesn't move. We're the ones that move away from God and put that barrier of sin. And David went through this personally when he chose to steal away Bathsheba and murder her husband. He temporarily lost the joy of his salvation. It wasn't because God changed. It wasn't because God stopped loving him. It was because he fell into sin. And when that sin got dealt with, he said to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Which God did. And we get to read more than 60 Psalms about David's joy and his praise for the Lord. Where did all that come from? It came from God. But it can be lost. You know, Jesus said, your joy no man taketh from you. In John 16. But sin can certainly take it away. And that is our own fault. So notice back in our passage, 1 Peter 1, verse 8, he says, rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The end of your faith. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but our faith isn't finished. Our spirit and our soul are saved. Our body isn't. Now, it's doctrinally saved. It's a done deal in God's program, but we still carry around this old body that causes pain and heartache and leads us into sin. So we're going to eventually receive the end of our faith, which is also the salvation of our bodies. But until then, it says the salvation of your souls. By faith, we believe that we will receive heaven. Amen? We shouldn't even be here tonight if we don't believe that. By faith, we believe that we will see Jesus someday. The Bible tells us we will. By faith, we believe we're going to walk on streets of gold. Imagine that. By faith, we believe we're going to be involved in God's 1,000-year kingdom as priests and saints and kings and priests for God. Imagine what that will be like. We believe all that by faith. He says, receiving the end of your faith. Why can we rejoice with joy unspeakable? Again, because it's all done. It's all done. And it will not change. And as the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We know that when we leave this earth, we're going to be with the Lord. We should be able to rejoice with joy unspeakable, knowing that's true. And that the devil and the world and the flesh can't do anything about it. It's settled because God said it. And then look at Romans 8, if you would, and verse 23, where again we look at this reminder about our bodies being the end of our faith. Verse 8:23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, while you're in Romans 8, look up at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And yet we compare it all the time, don't we? Paul says it's not even a worthy comparison to compare, what's it say? The sufferings of this present time with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That glory is going to so overshadow the sufferings, they're going to seem like nothing. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, your light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light? Sometimes it doesn't feel that light. But when we get to heaven, it's going to seem like it was nothing. So we can rejoice with joy unspeakable no matter what the circumstances. And that's what Peter was trying to get across in this book. You're going to have suffering. We've already looked at that. You're going to have trials. You're going to have pain. You're going to have temptations. That's a fact for Christians. But in the midst of all of that, we can always have the joy of the Lord, and it can always be our strength. As it says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That never goes away. Doesn't the Bible say that the fruit of the Spirit is love? What's the second one, Monique, since you're teaching on it right now?
Joy.
Joy. Well, He lives in us. Amen? The Holy Ghost, God, the Spirit, lives within us, which means that the source of true joy is always there, which means we can have joy unspeakable every day, all day. Doesn't matter what we face, it's always going to be there because of what we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. Those things never change. We can rejoice with joy unspeakable. So, when we're not rejoicing, what does that mean? Well, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord what?
Always.
That's a command, by the way. So if we're not rejoicing, it means we're not in the will of God. It's that simple. Think about it. If we're not rejoicing, we're not in the will of God. And yet, there's no reason to not rejoice. Amen? David says, seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. He said, Lord, I'm just going to praise You every day, all the time, because You're worthy of it. Joy unspeakable. It's available to every believer in Jesus Christ. But you got to be a believer. And by that, you got to be born again. If you're not born again, this joy is not available. Because you don't have God the Spirit living in you. You don't have heaven as your destiny. All you have is what you have here on earth, which is a wicked body and a soul on its way to hell. So you can't have the joy unspeakable. But when you're a born again Christian, absolutely, all the time, every day. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord.